Marketing is a battlefield. Trends shift, strategies evolve, and only the bold stay ahead.
So, how do you cut through the noise and make an impact?
Welcome to the Marketing Pulse Podcast, where we decode marketing one powerful conversation at a time.
Hosted by Mukwemba Mangangu, Tukia Tambatamba, and me, Grace Gondwe, we bring you insights, strategies, and real talk on what's shaping the industry.
Ready? Let's get into it.
Hi, Tukia.
Hi, Grace.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hi, Mukwemba.
Hi, Grace.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Guys, we are in studio right now complaining about Mukwemba and how much energy he has.
It's so early in the morning,
like,
by the way.
You can't have this much energy. Like, you're making us look bad.
Yeah.
Joy comes in the morning. Can we please find our joy in the Lord?
Okay. Anyway, it's good to be here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good to be back. It's good to see everyone, your beautiful faces. But most importantly, Tukia, have you noticed that Grace is glowing?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
You remember too. There's a certain glow about you.
Yes. If you were here, you could see. But since you're not here.
Firstly, congratulations, Grace, on your engagement.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Mukwemba has been dying to make this announcement.
Hey. And to eat your rice and chicken.
Exactly.
Guys, if you only knew how much I don't like being the center of attention, if you only knew how much I don't like people looking at me, you would realize that even a wedding just
is a lot.
Ish.
Congratulations on the big step. Wishing you the very, very, very best.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How much? Come visit your rice and chicken.
Majigis. Majigis.
I can't.
Okay, enough about that, please. We have an interesting conversation for today.
What are we talking about today?
Interesting topic today.
Today we're talking about customer service recovery and customer service retention. We've been discussing negative experiences with customer service. And as a marketer, it's very, very important to think about, you have a plan for how your service provision or your product delivery will go. Well, what happens when it doesn't go that way? What happens when a customer buys your product and maybe it malfunctions, or they come to you for a service and the service experience turns out to be a negative one? How do you as a marketer and as a service provider manage that? So that's what we'll be discussing today.
Awesome.
Yes. I think I'll open with a story and then we get into the conversations, right?
Yeah.
So we went for a family lunch, or was it brunch? Anyway, so we went to an establishment. So when we got there, they did not have electricity.
Okay.
So they told us, unfortunately, they didn't tell us immediately. So we placed our orders and everything. So we placed our drinks. Now, because at this time the food is taking long, all we're having is drinks. So, but then the manager, I think, came through and explained that there was no electricity, and so the means they were using to cook was going to take longer than usual. All right. So what he decided, what he did was, when the food came, we said eating. He then said, "All the drinks you've had to this point are on the house."
Damn.
Now you can imagine some of us were like,
place?
You should have mentioned that.
Where is that place?
Immediately we got here.
What's the load shedding schedule for that neighborhood?
So with that, it somewhat made the wait, the wait didn't seem so bad after all, because now they took responsibility for the wait time we had, and also made sure that we didn't pay for the drinks we were having, and we only had to pay for the food. So in that way, they were able to recover, right? So now we get into truly, what is service recovery? So, Tukia, how would you define service recovery?
So service recovery, I think it's basically the process of identifying and addressing and resolving customer complaints or service failures to restore customer satisfaction and trust. Like you said, mistakes happen, there's load shedding, things malfunction, but it's what you do and how you do it when that occurs, which matters to your customers. So that's service recovery in a nutshell.
And really, there's no way, if you've ever heard of Murphy's Law, whatever can go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah.
So something will happen. And so the responsibility rests with you as a service provider to ensure if something does go wrong, what are the action steps that, you know, the whoever is the frontline staff, whoever is, you know, managing product, whatever, how do they respond, or what opportunities are there for them to respond and make sure that the customer doesn't leave with a bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah.
And it's very, very important because it has a lot of consequences for the service provider, for the brand. If negative experiences are shared among customers, then that becomes negative word of mouth.
Yeah.
So it's important because you want to ensure that as a customer is going away, even if something went wrong, they're not leaving with a negative perception about you as a brand.
Yes, I think that's just brings to light, like you said, things do go wrong and every business should prepare for such eventualities. Sometimes they're out of your control, but they still affect the customers. And so you need to find a way in which you recover and recover appropriately. Right. So we understand that if service recovery is done right, it leads to customer satisfaction and also affects your brand reputation. So in marketing or service marketing, we have a component that we talk about that is referred to as the service recovery paradox. Okay. So the service recovery paradox states that customers who are dissatisfied but experience a high level of excellent service recovery may ultimately be even more satisfied and more likely to repurchase than those who were satisfied in the first place.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I think it's something that I would stand by. Because if, as a customer, if I've experienced bad service and you go, you as a manager, as a frontline staff, you go out of your way to ensure that you recover to the highest possible standard, I think I would be more satisfied in that case as opposed to if I come here and experience your regular, like above average customer customer service. So yeah, I think I stand by that paradox.
I think what it speaks to from the consumer's perspective is that this service provider values you as a customer, and that they are it kind of creates like a tailored experience for you, which is what we are seeing based on statistics and how the market is going. Is more and more consumers and more buyers want that kind of like one-on-one experience with the service provider. Exactly. So if I come and get regular service and it goes fine, it's a generic experience.
It's a generic experience,
But whereas if something goes wrong and then the service provider goes out of their way to then create a better experience through that service recovery, then I have a tailored experience that leaves an indelible mark.
Yeah, and you have a story to tell about how you should have ordered 1,000 beverages before the manager comes to down the house. Exactly.
But we see the funny thing with this is that I think that's where we go back to why it's a paradox, right? Because the service failure needs to be involved in this. Yeah. But then when we speak to business owners, managers, the question is, should you employ this logic? And the truth is, preferably not.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because we should be in a situation where, as a business, you should be reliable. Like, people should be able to count on you that every time it's done right the first time. You don't need to go around doing do-overs. So, because one of the things that ends up happening is, I think in our last episode that we had with Mr. Silungwe, we talked about complaints, right? And we've come to the realization that most customers do not complain. So what that does is it then makes it difficult for you to have excellent service recovery. Mm-hmm. Because if they don't complain, that mm-hmm. means they just walked away, mm-hmm. and all they have is the bad experience, yeah. or you know, the bad taste that stays in their mouth mm-hmm. to go and tell everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, it's costly. Those free mm-hmm. drinks that yes. we were having,
yes.
you know, mm-hmm. someone has to pay for them.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it wasn't us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if it's also something that keeps happening, mm-hmm. it does not improve the image of the institution. So, and sometimes there's no guarantee to work
mm-hmm.
because sometimes depending on how bad you've messed up, like yeah. sometimes mm-hmm. there's just no recovering.
Mm-hmm. That's
like,
true.
Yeah. Like assume whatever it is, maybe it affected you missing a flight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now there's no way you can get on the plane. You have to wait. Yeah. Even if they put you in the first class.
At
the,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've maybe missed that appointment. It yeah. makes, yeah. So there's things like that that we look out for.
And I think it's really, really important to understand that when we talk about customer service, you know, it transcends industries. I think it's important looking at it maybe from a health service provider's perspective,
yeah.
right? Health is a very, very sensitive space.
True.
And in that instance, you don't want to have a service failure because it can be life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
But if, God forbid, it did happen, what can the service provider then do to make the experience better? You know what I mean? So yeah. it can be in the health industry. It can be in transport. It can be in the banking industry. It can be in food. And I think food is where a lot of us have stories. yeah. Food is where a lot of us have stories. But it can also be products, right? I think on one or two occasions, especially from like the corner shops, you go to the corner shop in the neighborhood and you buy maybe milk and maybe it's been on the shelf for a bit too long.
Yeah.
You know, bread, which is not as fresh,
mm-hmm.
you know. So you can look at it even from like a big corporate perspective or even from a small business owner perspective. There's still ways that service recovery can be done. And so the business owner, the business practitioner, the service provider, we should think of how we can manage it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just from... maybe from a scientific perspective,
mm-hmm.
what is good service recovery?
That's a good question.
I think a good service recovery, firstly, it has to relate to where you failed in the first place,
mm-hmm.
right? And then ensuring that it's done right. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, you now go... above and beyond what someone would have expected to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me give another example of one that I was given in class
mm-hmm.
One time by one of my students. So she said she went to the gas station
mm-hmm.
And she wanted petrol, and she was very clear mm-hmm. that she wanted petrol,
mm-hmm.
but it's one of those vehicles that most people put diesel,
mm-hmm.
okay? So the fuel attendant, I don't know if he did not hear her, started putting diesel. So I think that she was probably putting maybe, let's assume she was putting like for 400 kwacha mm-hmm. worth of gas. She then realizes like, you've put diesel.
Mm.
Then at that point, she knew that, okay, we are stuck because now she was taking someone to the bus station.
Mm.
And now there's no way they could. So what the manager did was they called one of the taxis that were nearby
mm-hmm.
and transferred their whatever things they had into the cab and said, you go,
mm-hmm.
take whoever you were taking. The mm-hmm. taxi will bring you back. You'll mm-hmm. find us here.
Mm-hmm.
So they stayed now working on the car, draining mm-hmm. all the diesel that was put inside,
mm-hmm.
cleaning it up and replacing with petrol, mm-hmm. and they went ahead and put a full tank of gas.
Mm.
So in that regard, she did not have, there was no disruption
yeah.
in her mm-hmm. day, or at least if it was, it was a very short period.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when she came
everything
back,
everything she needed to do, she could still get done.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So by the time she came back, now she's like, look, I can surely come back because if something went wrong here,
mm-hmm.
they've also assured me
mm-hmm.
that they can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So from that, for her, I think this is what we refer to as excellent service recovery,
awesome.
At least because we're just people go above and beyond what would have been done. Yeah,
yeah. There's so many models to touch on a good service recovery. One being the LEARN model.
Mm-hmm.
So LEARN, L-E-A-R-N, RN, the L for listen, E for empathize, A, apologize, R, resolve, and N for notify. And all of these aspects, like I've brought out, touch in the story that you've just brought out. Mm-hmm. When you, the L, listen, the field attendant, I think at the point of realizing that they had made a mistake. Yes, they listened to the customer. Empathy in the sense of the manager being able to put himself in the position of that particular lady or student, like you mentioned, to say, okay, now we sort of have a crisis because someone needs to go to the bus station. So the manager's able to empathize with that particular person. A, apologize. The situation, of course, was not ideally what the petrol station wanted. So an apology was rendered. And in terms of resolve, you mentioned that they sorted out the whole putting of diesel as opposed to petrol in that situation and notified to tell the customer, okay, you know what, we've resolved your issue. Now we've notified you that all is well. You can proceed to go. So from a scientific perspective, that was an amazing example.
It touched on all the
touched on all the elements of this particular model.
Yeah. I think an important important aspect of it is empowering service, frontline service workers, empowering them and training them to know how to respond and giving them leeway to manage recovery, giving them the leeway and the resources to manage recovery. I listened to... can't remember his name, but he's a hotelier, I think, who worked with the Ritz-Carlton hotels, if I remember correctly. I hope I have that story correctly.
I'll back you up, don't worry.
You know it.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
I can't remember his name. But they trained their hotel staff so that if something went wrong, I think they had a dollar amount on it, that if something goes wrong, this guest comes to the hotel and something goes wrong and it's service recovery, that up to, I don't know, $1,000 or $500, you can tell them, this has happened, I'm so sorry, we'll cover you for. So they had, so that then empowers the staff, the frontline staff, to have the confidence to respond, to have the confidence to even take those, what is going on? I'm sorry that this is happening. This is the action that we can take. Is this sufficient?
Yeah.
And thank you so much for coming. Please come back again, right?
Yeah.
So that in that way, people are empowered to be able to say, okay, no, I'm sorry. And this is the way that we are recovering in that way. So I think it's important, give your staff members, let them be trained, right? Let them know. If this is the model you want to take, if you're using another model, that's fine. Let them know that model. Let them then also be empowered to respond, or at least empowered to lead this person through the steps that can help them get the feedback that they need.
So I think
it's like a standard procedure.
Yes, exactly.
And that's truly excellent, because then when we look at the option of the problem with many companies is that you have these bureaucratic processes of doing things, so much so that you get into an institution and you ask, oh, something has happened, and they say, okay, let me go speak to my supervisor. The supervisor is also not empowered. Let me go speak to the manager. The manager is also like, this one, let me ask someone else. So because of that, all speaks to the fact that you have not empowered the people in the front to know what they should do, because we then look at speed is very important. So the longer people wait, the more the frustration builds up.
Dissatisfaction,
exactly. And then that affects, obviously, service recovery in the end. So I think the training aspect is very cardinal, because that speaks to the speed to which someone receives the service that they came to get in the first place. You don't keep people for a long time, waste their day, and say you recovered.
What does, I think from a Zambian perspective, what do you guys think it should look like? Like, in that case, it was a full tank of gas. There were free drinks. Like,
should there be a standard?
Yeah, should there be a standard? Should it be just like, oh, you wanted a drink, your drink is bad, here's another drink? Like, I don't know. Should there be like a quantifiable amount, a way that it should look, you know? I know with our telecom service providers, they'll send you a 5 kwacha. I don't know if you've noticed.
100 NB. So that what?
No
way to participate
in that. No names mentioned. I'm sorry. We are sorry. We've stopped.
I think looking at it for what it is, I think organizations need to focus first on resolving. On resolving the actual problem.
Yeah, so, before you start talking about compensating, is the problem fixed?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Is the problem fixed? Or, I know it happens in real time, but can you solve the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Then when you talk about can you solve the problem, mm-hmm. this is where speed and accuracy come in. I think mm-hmm. speed and accuracy are a mm-hmm. big deal in the service industry. Mm-hmm. Speed in terms of, okay, to resolve this problem, I need to do A, B, C, D. It'll probably take 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
30 minutes is a long time for your customer to wait, irrespective of whatever service it is.
Mm-hmm.
So make that waiting a little less painful.
Mm-hmm.
That's where now the drinks come in. And I think from a customer perspective, it's literally just you going the extra mile. Going the extra mile. I don't think there's a standard or there's an amount that we can place on what you need to compensate the customer with. I think each situation, it depends.
Case by case.
It's on a case by case basis. But I think when it comes to that, we need to understand what the problem is, where we went wrong, how and can we resolve it before we start thinking about compensation.
That's really, really good, because you can compensate, but then if the issue is not resolved, then we'll come back to the same issue again.
Yes. Yeah,
that's
and
really
good. I think there are some customers that you can buy off even without resolving their problem. In the case where you can't resolve their problem or you can't recover, you can buy them. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of such. May not have solved my problem, but I was compensated for.
I'm good. I'm covered.
I'm covered.
Yeah, that's some really good perspective.
Yes, and even just from like textbook recovery, when we talk about service recovery strategies, I think there's two key considerations that we're always asked to employ. And I think that's a lot of what Tuki has talked about. But let me just bring out like from the academic point where it says you have to execute recovery appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
That's being number one. And number two, you have to treat recovery as a process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just one-off, because then you understand that you first go through, like you've said, an immediate response. Mm-hmm. Well, this is when we're talking about it as a process. Immediate response, you investigate the failure and what could have been done to avoid it because someone else could experience it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, you contact the customer and explain what had happened and reassure them that it won't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's both an outward-facing and an inward-facing process. Outward, communicating with the customer, understanding the issue, working to resolve it. But inward also is, what is it? Root cause analysis. Why did this go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
What didn't we do? And how can we ensure that it doesn't happen again? Which is, I think, the most important, even beyond how you compensate.
Yes.
Is internally, what are you doing to ensure that those incidences don't happen again? Yeah.
And I think a good example also generally for service recovery, I think in our last our episode with Mr. Silungwe, we talked about Zambeef.
Yes,
yes. And I think I said, well, you know what, we should remember that one.
Yes, yes.
To bring up, right? Mm-hmm. So they had their whole embalming situation. Exactly. But they came back. And I think, I'm not sure what they did. I don't know if anyone remembers how they did, but I would like to think their prices were reduced for a period of time to somewhat get the customers back. Like some way of, you know, sorry for what happened and the disruptions that this caused, even if this wasn't the case. We cleared everything. We took the things to the labs and ensured that we're providing you the best service and that is out in the open for everyone. And I think so, just from the aspect of them discounting their products mm-hmm. for a period of time just mm-hmm. to ensure that, you know, people are comfortable enough. Because mm-hmm. everyone loves a good discount.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. It's the same as, you know, sometimes when something's about to expire and they tell you it's expiring tomorrow, it goes for 50 kwacha, or send it at 20 kwacha or 10 kwacha.
You buy and eat it that day.
Yeah, you know, you're touching on the same Zambi thing. Service recovery is also important because it's an opportunity for you to grow, not just to make amends and to do an introspective, but also to grow. And like you're saying, where is Zambif now?
Yeah, exactly. Leaps and bounds ahead. Yeah. Yes, leaps and bounds ahead. It's a really good story. I think we need to do a Zambif case study.
Or
case
just
study.
Have someone and say, someone from there. Just
how did it go down?
What happened?
That and the blue band. I would also like to know what exactly had gone down.
Remind me of the blue band story.
I think there was one person that went on the internet and discovered that the fat spread doesn't necessarily melt when it's exposed to heat. So people were wondering to say, is what we're consuming safe? They called on Zabs, like people like this is important. Ooh. Like, you know how if you expose butter to
it melts.
It melts and whatnot. Yes. And they had all this scientific approach. They had like public notices everywhere addressing the whole issue. But even they have grown.
Yes,
you have expanded the product line has grown.
Has
I think grown. They're
they now choco.
Yes.
I'm a bit suspicious. I don't know. But yes, the product line.
BB. Yeah, it's like a train without an engine.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. So there was that. Yeah, about how that was managed.
Yeah,
interesting.
And it's an opportunity to strengthen relationships as well.
Yes.
Whenever something like that happens. Mm-hmm. To strengthen your relationships with existing customers, mm-hmm. potential customers, as well as the general public. Because if you go out in the public to say, okay, and apologize and explain to say this happened because of this, or maybe you didn't understand our product. Mm-hmm. See why it's important to educate customers on the product.
Yes,
if I remember correctly, they had mentioned something that for this product that this lady was using, you won't expect this to actually melt because it comes from vegetables or something like that.
And if it's a spread, it's not for cooking with.
Yes.
You know, they have the margarine, which has for cooking, for baking, for whatever.
Yes.
And then the spread is
it's a spread. Yes. And at that point, I didn't know. Mm. I was part of people who were educated through their public notice. So it's an opportunity to grow.
Yeah. So this conversation is important because it leads into the conversation of customer retention.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, customer retention is a whole other conversation. But I think when we were discussing the idea to have this episode, it was kind of linked to the conversation of how the Zambian market is still evolving in terms of how we manage customer retention, how we understand customer lifetime value.
Mm-hmm.
And Mukwemba gave an example in one of our episodes of bread and how much bread one person buys and how that is affected by whether or not there's avocado for breakfast
or not.
And I think
your bread consumption depends on how many avocados are at home.
Yes. Let's just be honest here. You know, when there's avocado.
With variations.
Yes.
With or without toast.
Listen. When you toast the bread, it automatically reduces. Okay? So how much bread is double? All right? Anyway, so we were talking about customer retention as well. And so when you do better customer recovery, rather, when you do better service recovery, you are more likely to retain customers.
Yeah.
And there's statistics on how it costs 5 times more to get a new customer than it does to retain a customer. So you're better off saving that one sale for the sake of another sale that is cheaper to get as compared to spending more money for a new sale that costs 5 times more.
I think even just the aspect of like 5 times more to retain a customer,
mm-hmm.
it goes back to, I'm dropping theories. This period, the leaky bucket theory.
Yes.
So what that entails is you're placing water in a bucket,
mm-hmm.
but the bucket has holes at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So the holes at the bottom represent the customers you already acquired, but
are now losing. Mm-hmm.
So, and the water coming in represents the new people, but we come to the knowledge that it costs more to convince a new person to join than it does someone who's already using the service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when we were speaking about the customer retention, I was telling a story of how, and it wasn't a bad customer experience. It's just customer retention related. I was using this particular service provider. I had a good experience with them. Used the service for 1 year and decided that some specific aspects of the service were not satisfactory.
Mm-hmm.
So not that it was bad. I just, my needs changed. Yeah. So I wanted to use a different service provider. So I communicated to the service provider, hey, it's been a good run, but I think I'm looking for something different. And they said, okay, cool. We have like a window period before changing the service provider. And yeah, so that window period came to a close and I switched service providers. And I just found it interesting because that service provider had a range of products that I could have used, right? That they could have said, oh, this doesn't fit you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried this?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you consider trying this? But they never offered and they never even asked why. Like there was no exit interview, so to say. It was like, oh, you're changing. Are you looking for something different? What are you looking for? Can I interest you in either this, or this? But they never came and had that conversation. And I didn't know also as someone who's, you know, wanting to decide on which service provider to use, if it would be weird to say, I mean, you are the service provider. Yes. You should come and ask me.
Yes.
Come and show me what other service offerings you have.
Yes.
Rather than for me to come and say, oh, but I hear you have these other things. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I feel like that was a lost opportunity on their part because I had money to spend and I had budget. And they are looking for customers.
They are looking for,
And they should have said, oh, okay, if this is not serving you anymore, these are the other.
Wow.
Products that I can offer, and they didn't. So yeah, that was actually the thought that when I shared with Mukwemba that we said that this would be an interesting conversation to have.
Yeah, truly.
I think that's just laziness, if you ask me. Quite bluntly, that's laziness. I think at that point, it really is an opportunity to cross sell your product.
Yeah.
So is it that the frontline staff, maybe, or the consultant didn't go through sufficient training?
Yeah.
Was it a bad day for them?
So many questions. And I had, like I said, the particular service, I had a good relationship with them.
Yes.
There was no bad blood, no bad experience. It was like, okay, thank you for your service. I'm just looking for something different. I was just looking for something different at that moment. So I communicated, I think this is the end of the experience. They never asked
why can we?
No. They never asked. By the time they were asking that, I had already decided on the new service provider and I had already moved on. Yes, I had already moved on. So then they were like, oh, so but why? You know, so that was a missed opportunity to
It was because, like, from the Zambian perspective, if you take into consideration even the telecoms industry, all the players were fighting for the same people.
Yes.
There's very few customers new. That are new.
Yes.
You're fighting for the same. So a missed opportunity like that actually is a big deal. And you'd wonder to say, if they did that to you, how many others?
So it's interesting. I mean, maybe they were looking for someone who'd spend more money. Maybe my budget wasn't enough to...
But you had the money. As you said, you had the money.
I did have the money. It was an essential to me service that I would need to continue using. So anyway, the moral of the story is a customer communicating the end of a service experience or the end of their usage of a service that you're providing always seek to have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
I think there's an episode where we've touched on the value of knowing your customer, the know your customer. It can be, whether it's, I don't know, maybe calling it an exit interview would make it weird, but just an after sales service survey or something like that. Just say, oh, okay. Well, how has your experience been? Why are you leaving? Yes, did you not meet your needs? Oh, is that the reason? Mm-hmm. Is there anything? Do you want to look at our catalog and see if there's something else?
Exactly.
So that you don't lose that business and have to go into. And I can assure you, it will cost money for them to get this
to acquire a new
service. It will cost them time and money. Obviously, time being money, it will cost them to get this new person to get that service.
Another aspect, obviously, because when we talk about retention, it's also, we're going back to the retention of revenue, right? Like that's money that's being pumped back in your business. So that's how you look at it. Because if you look at, you have all these other options, you realize that this person can actually benefit from this other option. Why not ensure that they take this one as well? I also think the problem with most businesses in Zambia is, I think there's this assumption that you can go, someone else will come.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then you'll find that if this person was, say, paying you on time every time,
yes,
there's no guarantee that the person who's going to come next will do the exact same thing.
Exactly.
So that's where for you, you'd now end up now having a bad experience with someone new under the assumption that people are desperate and they will come to me for the service.
Very much so. And there's that lag. There's time lost in the in-between, right? It can take a day or two, it can take a week or two, depending on the kind of product you're selling. Like, I mean, let's say, for instance, you are, I don't know, leasing out heavy moving equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And this contractor, like you're saying, they manage, they pay you on time, they take care of your heavy moving equipment. They, you know, you don't have problems with them. And they're like, okay, look, I want to go and maybe try another product.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this other product already, but you don't upsell them or, you know, share your other options with them. And they go. It will take you maybe 2 weeks to a month to find another client who's willing to pay as much money. And so you're losing money in that in between the lead. Is it lead time?
Yes.
Yeah.
That it will take you to get another client to get your products.
Yeah. In terms of maybe assessment and measuring service recovery, what do you think are good measures to say, you know what, this service recovery that was performed was a success? What are some of the things that we can use maybe to measure?
Did the customer come back? Let's start there.
Really? Yes. Really.
Did the customer come back?
Yeah. What did the customer say?
Yes. Yeah. I think also just their reaction, because this is real-time feedback that you can get. Yes. Right? Mm. What was their reaction to your recovery in the moment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And based off how they, you know, they speak to you, I think will be an indication of whether it was a success or not. But I think that's information you can get from them. Because if you did a really good job, I think guaranteed by the time they're leaving, they're the ones who are saying thank you to you.
Yes.
Instead of you, as much as you had to have apologized, they'll leave saying thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I see.
And I think assessing it against what your complaints procedure is. Your complaints procedure is the template, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we receive a complaint, we'll do A, B, C, D. And by the time we get to E, to us, that's a successful customer recovery process. So if you go through post-fact, you go through and you see, okay, point B didn't happen or point C didn't happen. Why didn't it happen? Then maybe we didn't handle this well or something went wrong and we need to be better at it next time. So your customer recovery process is then a guide for you. And I think then designing it is very important and making sure you get into the mind of the customer. If this went wrong and the service provider responded to me like this, how would I feel?
Yeah.
Would I feel like this is a well-managed experience or not?
Interesting. I think, that's where the net, I think we spoke about it in one of our episodes, the net promoter score will come into play to say, okay, if you as a customer had a bad service, to what extent now are you willing to tell the next person about that awesome service recovery. That score is very important in assessing or measuring a good customer service recovery.
It is. Is it a thing? Like, do Zambian brands look into NPS things?
I don't know.
I think some do.
I've seen, I know, like, the bigger brands, Coca-Cola, yeah. And who. My workplace, we're a service provider,
mm-hmm.
and more kind of a non-profit service provider,
mm-hmm.
but we do on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every, so I do customer relationship management. So yeah. We have surveys. So each of us, my group of clients.
Portfolio?
My portfolio, yes. Mm-hmm. A survey is sent out, they give feedback on me and how I respond, and then we do broadly across, get our NPS scores and all of that, yes. So it's very much a thing.
Oh, okay, so you guys do that?
As we do, yes.
Awesome.
But now I'm thinking about it from, like, as a Zambian, like, indigenous.
Indigenous.
I think we mentioned to say things to do with surveys, research. We may not see the benefits there and then, but as a wholesome picture, when you start to lose your customers, that's when you now see the importance of that survey. Mm. That's when you start seeing the importance of a research, for example. But by that time, it may be late. Mm. So. Yeah, it's better to be proactive than reactive.
Always.
Yeah.
Always better to be proactive.
I think this also speaks to, I think this is something we mentioned in one of the previous episodes, just being in a position to ensure that you look at the whole lifetime value that your customer has when you're with them. So I think because we've talked about it already, it's just that you know that never look at just one sale.
Mm-hmm.
Always look at it from a bigger picture. For as long as they are alive,
mm-hmm.
will they constantly keep coming to you? And if they come to you, there's also the spillover effect that, oh, people from the house know that if you're mm-hmm. getting this, you go there.
Mm-hmm.
And you also start, what do you call this? Restructuring your strategies.
Mm-hmm.
This worked for baby boomers. It worked for millennials. We have to restructure it because now we're dealing with Gen Z's and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very, very, very important. In conclusion, so service recovery isn't just about fixing mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tukia has emphasized this. It's very much an opportunity to build stronger customer relationships. We're not saying that you should trigger failure just so that you recover.
It might not work.
Yeah. Yes, but what we're saying is, when it does happen, look at it as an opportunity more so than just a problem.
Yeah.
Businesses that excel at recovery retain customers longer.
Yeah.
And increase customer lifetime value. Basically, it's easier to make money from keeping clients
mm-hmm.
than from going out to look for new ones. A well-handled complaint can turn an unhappy customer into a loyal one, as per the service recovery paradox.
Yes.
So we've shared stories about our different experiences. So that's all we had for today's episode.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening. And please, we invite our listeners to share their experiences. Please get in touch with us on our social media platforms. Let us know what, I know lots of people like commenting under, like, the YouTube clips,
yeah.
And you give us your experiences of, you know, service recoveries that you've enjoyed,
yeah. Or
things that may have gone wrong in that regard. Mm-hmm. Also ask that you please share, listen, like us on our social media platforms, get in touch with us with anything, or if there's a guest you'd like us to have on the show, please mm-hmm. let us know. We'll be very, very happy to respond and do something about that feedback. It's what we're talking about.
Yes.
We want the feedback.
Feedback.
And know
you
what
are our client.
You are why we wake up, you know, to do this.
To do these episodes.
Exactly. Yeah, the reason for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. So, with that, please remember
to keep your finger on the marketing pulse. We hope that you have enjoyed today's episode just as much as we have.
Till next time, remember to keep your finger on the marketing pulse.